good morning. The Lieutenant Governor's on vacation, but I'm very pleased this morning to be joined by the newly named Iowa Sports Foundation Executive Director, Chuck Long. As many of you know, the Iowa Sports Foundation began back in 1987. I was proud to be part of helping launch the Iowa Games, which was the first event of the Iowa Sports Foundation, as a way to help provide recreational opportunities for Iowans of all ages and abilities. In this past year, over 280,000 Iowans participated in the Iowa Sports Foundation events, programs, or challenges. Today, we're making progress towards our goal of becoming the healthiest state. And the Iowa Sports Foundation has played an important role in that. When we launched the Healthiest State Initiative in 2011, we ranked 19th in the Gallup Healthways Wellbeing Index. Today, we rank 10th in that index. Other states are also taking notice and working to improve the health of their citizens as well. Last fall, Governor John Kitzhaber launched the Oregon Healthiest State Initiative. Now, he's another governor that served and came back, and he's also a medical doctor, and he's another guy with a mustache. So we feel like we have some things in common. As we strive to continue working to become the healthiest state in the nation, programs like the Iowa Games and organizations like the Iowa Sports Foundation, which also launched Lighten Up Iowa and now Live Healthy Iowa and Live Healthy America, is providing Iowans opportunities to live a healthier and more active lifestyle. I'm very pleased to have our new director for the Iowa Sports Foundation, someone who is very well known here in Iowa, Chuck Long. Chuck?
Thank you very much, Governor Branstad, and I want to give special thanks to you and your administration for supporting the Iowa Sports Foundation, actually getting it off the ground many years ago. I'm glad you did that. It's a very strong program right now, and I've been fortunate to be named the CEO and executive director. I've actually been going around with the great Jim Hallahan, and he has shown me the ropes of the organization, and it's amazing, and I want to give some credit to him and his staff. It's amazing what he's built over the years, through your help, of course, and how it's grown. My goal and job is to keep it growing, to maintain what we have and keep it growing. I'm very proud of the fact that we have four very strong programs or pillars within the Iowa Sports Foundation. As Governor Branstad mentioned, the Iowa Games, probably been around the longest. I remember when that was first launched back in 1987. There's actually over 62 sports involved with the Iowa Games now, and we are embarking on what's coming up right now, the Winter Games that are going to be held in Dubuque January 23rd to 25th, and in Cedar Rapids from February 7 to 9, and registration is now open for that. It's been open for about a month under the iowagames.org is our website to get registered. But that's, I believe we set a record last year, almost 4,400 athletes in the Winter Games alone. So it's really exciting. And that's coming right around the corner. We also have Live Healthy Iowa, which is actually starting today. Registration opens today with a January 26th start, and that will run through April 3rd, correct? January 26th to April 3rd. It's the Live Healthy Iowa 10-Week Wellness Challenge. And it's a program that I actually was involved with last year in another company. And any community or business or any Iowans that can get a team together between 2 and 10 people and register on livehealthyiowa.org. It's $20 a person. It's a really good way really inexpensive way to be part of a wellness program. And I know it's done wonders, and I could give an example. Last year, I was part of a team, and we lost a significant amount of weight. We kept track of our exercise, our nutrition. There's recipes online. There's a lot of wealth of information on our website regarding that, and that is a special program. Over 200,000 people are involved throughout the year in our Live Healthy Iowa program. And then from there, we have the senior games, which is basically about 30 sports or so throughout the year. And it's people over 50 years old of all walks of life. That includes me now. So I will be part of the senior games. Yeah, it's hard to believe. I'll be part of the senior games. And then lastly but not least, our Adapt to Sports Iowa program is sports and recreation with people with physical disabilities. This one is near and dear to my heart because I grew up with a brother with cerebral palsy. So I was part of his program throughout his life, and this is a very special program that I would like to grow now and in the future. But I'm very honored, very proud to be a part of it. I want to thank all of our volunteers. We have great volunteers statewide. They really make it go. And I'm still going to go out and meet those volunteers. I can't wait to meet them. And I'm excited about that. And we have a wonderful group of sponsors. We have an outstanding group that I'm excited. Jim and I have been going around and meeting all of them, and I want to expand that, and that's a goal of mine as well. But anyway, I'm excited. I'm honored to be here. It's all come fast and furious, but this is a foundation that really fits me, or I fit it. It's when they came and approached me about it, I knew right away that I wanted to be a part of it. And I'm glad that we have your administration backing it. That means a lot. And we're gonna make you proud, Governor Branstad. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. We're excited about the growth and opportunity ahead. Thank you very much.
Okay, we'd be glad to answer your questions on this. We've been very blessed with great leadership. The Iowa Sports Foundation, Jim Hallahan is here, and for many years he led it and did an outstanding job. And having Chuck Long as a leader today, I think, with his visibility and his experience, I think we can bring it to an even new, even greater level. So we're very excited. Yes, sir. Well, it all depends upon the criteria that are used. I think this United Health survey uses a different set of criteria than Gallup Healthways. I've said from the very beginning, that as my high school football coach say, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. It's going to get a lot tougher to move from where we are 10th to first, and because the competition is very stiff there. But I think that we need to take that as a challenge. And we need to continue to work on all aspects of it. There are a lot of different criteria, and I'm particularly concerned about obesity, and that's why this Live Healthy Iowa is really good. But also all of the other programs that the Iowa Sports Foundation are involved in to encourage exercise and participation of all ages, whether you're a senior citizen or whether you have certain handicaps or else. There's an opportunity for everybody to participate. Other questions?
I got a question on another subject.
Okay.
You reported in a story over the weekend opposing a vote, a straw poll vote in a summer event for the Republican Party. Is that view widely shared in the Republican Party that there should not be a straw poll, even if there isn't?
Well, I think a lot of people like the idea of having an event like we've had at Ames for many years. But I believe that a number of the candidates have chosen not to participate because they don't think it's necessarily representative. And it's the most important thing is to keep the Iowa precinct caucuses first in the nation and the first real test strength of candidates. So what I've said is I think we could do a series of regional events. I would be willing if the Central Committee, and obviously this is a decision to be made by the Republican State Central Committee, not by me. But I think that we want to be welcoming to all candidates. I want to encourage them all to come and participate. And I think you could have an event like that without actually taking a straw poll that could indeed attract all the candidates and give them an opportunity to be exposed to Iowa voters and to have kind of a fun summer type event.
The leadership at the Republican Party at the state level now, or the folks that you are close with,
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that it was a grassroots movement that elected people to the Central Committee, and I respect the fact that it's the Central Committee, not the governor, that makes these decisions. And so I'm very aware of their independence and their responsibility, and I want to work with them. I've been very complimentary of what they've done. They inherited a party that had big problems. It hadn't been raising money. They hadn't been focused on electing candidates. And in a very short period of 6 months, they turned that all around. They were able to raise significant amount of money. They were able to really focus on helping all the candidates. We had a very successful election, of course, electing the first woman senator from Iowa, Joni Ernst, to two open seats for Congress. We won both of those, the governor and lieutenant governor's race, the secretary of state's race that was open. So I think the Central Committee's done a good job. I also am very complimentary of their decision not to, as members of the Central Committee, endorse presidential candidates. I think that also helps lay the groundwork for candidates to feel it's going to be a fair and level playing field for all candidates, and that's what I really want. And I think that's important for us to preserve Iowa's first in the nation precinct caucuses as the first test. There's obvious great benefits to the state of Iowa. We've already seen that from the number of candidates that are coming here, and we want them to feel very welcome and that they will all be treated fairly. I have not tried to influence them, other than I have made statements as to my interest in making sure we have a level playing field and we treat all candidates fairly. But I do respect the Central Committee's responsibility to make decisions like this, and I have confidence that they will do what they think is in the best interest of the party. Certainly to date, I think they've had a great track record. And I've gone through that, both in fundraising, supporting all the candidates, and as members of the Central Committee, saying that they're not going to be endorsing or supporting particular candidates, but giving everyone an equal opportunity. We've had different discussions with different people on this, and eventually I'm sure that the Central Committee will make their decision, but Jeff and I have had some conversations. I know there's been conversations with other people. My interest has always been not to tell the Central Committee what to do, but to work with them and make sure that we're all going down the road together. And boy, did that work well in this election. All you have to do is look at the results and look at the way we campaign. The Democratic candidates for the governor and senator wouldn't even meet together, whereas we were with Joni Ernst, we were with the congressional candidates, we were the other statewide candidates. We all work together as a team. And Jeff Kaufman does a great job. He's a great motivational speaker, and he's been very good at raising money for the party and putting the party organization together behind and supporting all of the candidates, regardless of their philosophical perspective or persuasion. So that's what I want to do. I want to have a united, strong party that works together, and I want to make sure that the Iowa caucuses are fair and open and that we don't have the problems of the past.
Are you concerned that the violation?
Well, that's another issue that I think the Central Committee has to address. Well, there's new rule. Yeah, and you better, I think, I'm not knowledgeable on all the details of the Republican National Committee, but I can tell you that after the last convention, a decision was made that there would be apportionment of delegates based on the candidate's strength in the Iowa caucuses. And also that there would be penalties for people that tried to, and this is something good for Iowa, that tried to move up their caucuses or their primaries, that there could be, the National Committee could penalize them and reduce their number of delegates. And I think and I've had some discussions with Reince Priebus, and he's very serious about enforcing that, and he wants to make sure that the process is one that doesn't have dozens and dozens of debates, but is much more focused. And that's one I've always believed in. You know, I've participated in debates in every one of my campaigns, usually three debates, and I think that the Republican National Committee sees the wisdom of having a limited number of focused debates and not having a lot of them. The party has had a task force that worked on that, and I think they've came up with some good recommendations. We had a very unusual situation last time where we had the closest Iowa Republican caucus vote we've ever had in history. Less than 100 votes separated the top two candidates, and you had a few precincts who didn't have their records maintained. So we want to prevent that kind of thing from happening again, and I think the party has worked very hard to make sure that we don't have a repeat of what happened.
They did make those recommendations, but the State Central Committee has never acted on them. They're just sitting in a report.
Yeah, I understand that, but I would expect before we get to the caucuses, they will take action and see to it that we have a level playing field and we have a fair system to prevent inaccuracies in the reporting of the caucus results.
You have said in the past that it's time to look at changing the way school defines financial finance.
Right.
There's a committee meeting upstairs today on that very topic. Do you have your own recommendation that you plan to present to legislators in January?
Well, actually, we began that in 2013 when we passed our new teacher leadership program. And as you know, we're in the process of phasing that in. The first year was a planning year. This year, an additional $50 million was provided to reward teachers that take on more responsibility as lead teachers or mentors or coaches. And one-third of the students are getting the benefit of that. Another $50 million will be provided in the next year, and another $50 million in the third year, and that will provide funding to be able to do that in all the school districts of the state of Iowa. In addition to that, I intend, and we also changed the funding formula from allowable growth to supplemental state aid, so there wouldn't be an automatic property tax increase, but that it would come from state dollars. I intend to recommend for the biennium, both years, for fiscal years 16 and 17, my recommendations for supplemental state aid on the second day of the session when I present the condition of the state address and the entire budget. Now, we know by law I'm not required to do that to the end of January, but I intend to do that to give the legislature an opportunity to go to work on this right away. I know schools would love to have this decision made early so that they have stability and predictability and they know how much their funding will be. We're not going to have any across-the-board cuts. We're going to fully fund the school aid formula, but I'm going to be very careful about not over-promising. I want to make sure we can deliver what we promised to do, and we intend to do it in this very thoughtful and systematic way. Are there other questions? Okay. Well, I don't really have advice for that. I think, I'm commander in chief of the Iowa National Guard, which means I get to call them out if we have a flood, a tornado, or something like that. But when it comes to those kind of decisions, those are internal decisions. And Senator Ertz is a lieutenant colonel in the Iowa National Guard. And as I said, you don't get to be a lieutenant colonel in the National Guard without leadership ability. Plus, we have Tim Orr as the Adjutant General, he's a two-star general. He's a great leader for the Iowa National Guard. I've enjoyed working very much with him, and I'm sure between our Adjutant General and Senator Ernst, they can work out what they think is appropriate. I think there are other senators in the United States Senate that serve in either the Guard or the Reserve, and I think it's good to have people that have knowledge and experience about our national defense and the interrelationship between the reserves and the regular military. I happen to be one of the 10 governors that are on the Governor's Advisory Council to the Pentagon, National Guard, and to Homeland Security, and I felt that it's critically important that we have a good collaboration between those levels of our national defense.
Thank you,
Governor. Thank you. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Governor Branstad. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Great to be with you. Thank you.